Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
And welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Mary Nemechek, and as a of faith, we say, COVID-19, you are not welcome here. The blood of Jesus is against you. Lord, we pray that you will help the government find quick and expensive solutions to treat this virus. And even then, Lord, we look to you, not to the government, to be our healer. This is one of the things you provided through your death and resurrection, Jesus. Through your blood, we are made whole in every regard. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We take communion. We remind ourselves always of this promise. We appropriate that victory to ourselves and for our families in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's a beautiful prayer, very direct and to the point. And hopefully people will keep tuning into this program and keep praying that prayer.
Mm-hmm. There's, you know, go ahead.
One of the nice things is the communication through texting and emails, et cetera, for people to share different prayers and how you can get to different masses and so on and so forth. And I was sent this yesterday about the Papal Daily Mass on CatholicTV.com at noon every day and includes adoration at the end. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of nice to know about that. And also Bishop Barron's masses every day. I mean, there's lots of ways for us to participate in prayer with others online, you know, watching these, and keep us focused on, you know, what you just did, raising up prayers for this to end, for people to survive and recover, and for all the health workers and everyone else who's out there, the truck drivers, the delivery people, the people in the grocery stores, you know, anyone that's out there and being exposed to it.
That's right. And you know, we've had times of plague before, right? We've had times of pandemic or epidemic before. And there is a way in which we can live in fear, or we can decide that, we can decide that we, you know, that we're not going to give in to fear, right? Fear, I think, freezes us in the present and in the future. You know, it freezes us in place, right? It's like we're afraid to move, we're afraid to say, right? And there's been a lot of fear. And as we were sharing with you last time, Ralph Martin's idea that in the end, all fears are traced back to the fear of death, right? And the future... Right. And of the future, you know, what's going to happen? Am I going to die? Am I not going to die? Am I going to be really sick? Are my loved ones going to be sick? You know, that kind of thing. And then there's a whole other set of problems, of financial problems. You know, we don't want the cure to kill the patient. You know, we don't want the cure to kill the disease. You know, right. If the shutdowns and the depression of the economy goes on too much further, of course, we're already in a recession, but a lot of us are going to be in trouble. You know, like there's a lot of, I met a couple yesterday. We bought something from them, and they were literally, he's in the food service business. So he was a waiter or, you know, caterer, and mm-hmm. she was a debt collector. And it was like, they have to sell off pieces of their equipment, you know, what they have in the house, to just have right. the money to survive.
And that's not going to be too unusual, you know, for those of us that are self-employed. You know, you can't go down and get funds from the government for unemployment. So that's a particular branch. And just like you mentioned, if you're in the food industry, you would be, you know, self-employed many times. So it's tragic what we're seeing. So you know, this is certainly a time to trust in the Lord for his providence and guidance and help no matter what happens. It's in his hands.
That's right. We're in his hands. So, I mean, we're not saying for people to get silly and not take precautions. I think that if you know who you are, if you're an at-risk person or if you're related to an at-risk person, you need to adopt the precautions that they're telling you to do. And it's not like nobody knows what to do, because God knows one of the upsides, but also one of the downsides, as far as I'm concerned, is that every time you turn the TV on or check your mail or whatever, there's 14 recommendations and 14 ways of people who are dying. And, you know, like I'm with my ties to Italy, I'm seeing just all kinds of gruesome stuff happening in Italy, which is like the hardest hit country so far. And there's always something that happens every day. And you could really let yourself, I had to stop watching the governor's briefings and the president's briefings and every other briefing, because it causes anxiety. You know, it's like you're listening to these people and you're saying, what the heck? Yeah. So, you know, so anyway, that may not be good for all of us, but I do. And I do try to watch maybe once a day or every other day. But I mean, you know, what kind of positive vibes are we going to get when we tune in to hear that the number of cases have doubled overnight? You know, what am I going to do with that? You know, I mean, personally, what am I going to do with that? I'd rather spend that time in prayer. I'd rather spend the time exercising, loving my families. I'm doing a lot of cooking. I just hope I don't gain the COVID-15 like everybody's talking about, because all we do is bake and eat, right. You know, all that stuff. Right. But, you know, and again, here's some words of encouragement, I thought, from the scriptures. And my mind, there's a couple of them. My mind went straight to both of these things. One is in 2 Chronicles 7, I think it was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's the dedication of the temple under Solomon. And it's the Lord speaking to Solomon about, here we go, 2 Chronicles. And it's the passage that you and I know. I mean, it's one of the first passages I ever memorized, really, because it's so amazing, right? And it's Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. And this is the famous part, verse 14 of chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So, you know, you have what is known as a conditional blessing, right? It's like, right. If it starts with, if my people, and what are we supposed to do? Well, first of all, are we called by my name? Well, last time I looked, we were Christians, right? So we have Jesus's name upon us, right? We're called by his name. What are we called to do? Humble ourselves, pray, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. I mean, that's kind of the whole point, I suppose, of maybe this pandemic, is that we will humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord, right? and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. I mean, can you think of any way in which the culture has lost its way? In which there are wicked ways?
Believe me, that's, we're living in wicked times. And this is a call to us. You know, this is something to reflect upon. And, you know, when we're not in control, when there's a sense of losing our freedom, you know, with our health or with our finances or whatever it may be, who are you going to turn to? How are you going to use this time? And, you know, the example you gave was a perfect one. Who are we to turn to God? And humbly, in repentance, you know, it's we have to put our faith in something outside of ourselves and outside of the government and the secular world. I mean, and this is a time for us to know where our home really is. I mean, we are all going to leave this world at some point in time. So this is a time to reflect and prepare and be ready.
Another verse that really encouraged me is 2 Timothy. So the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, and it's in verse 6. He's reminding Timothy, who was a young guy. He was a young guy with a lot of responsibility. He was a bishop. And he's reminding him, I remind you, Timothy, to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. Now, obviously, some people, a lot of commentators, are obviously referring to the gift of holy orders that was imposed upon Timothy through the hands of Paul, right? But right. We also have been given gifts through baptism that need to be rekindled, right? And we know as we pray upon one another that we lay hands upon one another. Of course, maybe not in this environment of coronavirus, but the Lord does not need, you know, it's a symbol for us mostly. So this is the best part. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Elsewhere, it's translated fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. So that should be something we can claim. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is not of God. So if you spend your life anxious and walking around saying, oh, wringing your hands, especially mothers tend to do that, you know. But I think that there's other people as well out there who are there just going, oh, what's going to happen? Stop and examine yourself. What are you believing? What are you believing? In who do you have faith? Remember, fear freezes us. It makes us, you know, we get that that instinct of the prey, you know, with the hawk flying by, you know, or the lion prowling by. We just freeze. But I think we're called during this time to be as loving as we possibly can and to use it as an opportunity to love the people around us and to serve the people around us. What do you think, Mary Lou?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, this is a good time to examine the scriptures and find those verses in Psalms, which relate to what you were talking about dependence of God and not having any fear. And, you know, we have to keep our minds occupied in some way. So how are we going to feed our minds right now? And it shouldn't be, as you mentioned earlier, watching the news, because sometimes it's just too overwhelming. But, you know, I've kind of tried to structure my day through what's available, you know, on the internet or TV. There's a lot of us that are saying the chaplet at 3 p.m. every day. We're going to do that at a certain time. We're going to do our rosaries at certain times. And we're going to keep the mind occupied on something other than, you know, this news, because prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. All prayers are going to be answered by God in His way, in His time, and we have to claim that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just believe that He is here for us, and good is going to come out of this.
Amen.
And, you know, it's as tough as it is, and I'm, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, I am totally by myself. So I don't have the children and grandchildren around and that sort of thing. So I have a lot of time to concentrate on thinking about all this stuff. And I always think of St. Padre Pio, you know, pray, hope, and don't worry. That's what we have to do. And we have to, you know, I'm trying to call people and touch base with people
that's
and
good.
See how they're doing. Do you need anything? How are you feeling? Have you talked to, you know, your family members? We have to reach out to other people and let them know that we're thinking of them, that we're praying for them, that we're all in this together. You know, make Amen. It a time of not just sitting before the TV watching, you know, mindless movies.
That's right. That's right. This is a test. This is only a test, right? This is something Father Steve Roberts at the Newman Center at University of Kentucky sent out, which I thought was kind of cool. He was looking at his baptismal font, and he said, look, we have basically as Christians, of course, the baptismal font represents our baptismal call, right, to be priests, prophets, and kings. We have survived the HIV/AIDS pandemic. Do you remember that one? The
yeah.
flu pandemic of 1968, right. The flu pandemic of 1956-1958,
right.
The cholera pandemic of 1910-1911. Isn't that interesting? The Spanish flu of 1918, 1919, and 1920, the flu pandemic of 1889, the cholera pandemic of, he keeps going down. And of one, you know, to me, the one that stands out the most, of course, is the Black Death, the bubonic plague that basically haunted the 14th century, right? 1346
right.
to 1353. In a time when they didn't have wipes and they didn't have gloves and they didn't have masks and shields and gowns and they had no understanding of how it was transmitted. So, you know, yes, it's true the bubonic plague wiped out, it is estimated, about a third of the world's population at the time. And it actually kind of reset the whole European mindset from a more joyful mindset to a more sort of depressed or expect the worst kind of thing mindset because it was so awful.
Right.
And but that is, so therefore we've been here before. We are perhaps the best equipped generation ever to sustain a pandemic. You know, I'm trying to look at the positive things as well. You know, we have every instrument known to man. We have scientists working for us 24/7. I've got a friend of mine in Florida who owns a lab, and they do nothing but read coronavirus tests from 16 hours a day, just nonstop. I mean, there are unsung heroes out there doing all the things that we would expect to be done without even knowing who's doing it. So, you know, as we close out, we have a couple minutes. Let's just take a minute to breathe. Let me just suggest this. Like Mary Lou very wisely said, structure your day. It's easy to kind of, you know, it's funny. There's all the memes on the internet, right? 7:30, a structure for, you know, schedule for the day. 7:30, breakfast. 8 o'clock, breakfast dessert in the breakfast nook. Then 5 o'clock, happy hour on the balcony or whatever, you know. And then
I did
dinner.
Text somebody saying it's 5 o'clock. It's time for a glass of wine.
Yeah, right. Isn't that funny? So yes, we can do that. That's one way to structure it. But I think the best thing to do would be to give the Lord the first part of the day. Get up, get on your knees, thank the Lord for being alive. Thank the Lord for all your blessings. Make the sign of the cross upon yourself. Do the morning offering. Lord, I offer you everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I will do and ever will be, you know. And then just move on and, you know, do your rosary, do your devotions, pray for people. And I have really been trying to be a little more conscientious about calling people instead of texting them. We just fall into that automatic texting thing. But I just have been picking up the phone. I said, look, I need to call you. I need, you know, I want to call. I want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to your phone, you know. And that might be another way in which we can reach people. I've received a couple emails about people who are shut-ins and people are giving their phone numbers who just, they would just love to hear from us. There's an elderly sister who goes to the Adoration Chapel all the time, and apparently she's shut in her house now, and she lives in that Adoration Chapel, you know. So we had a group of people get kind of spread her number so we could call her, say, hey, sister, what's going on? How are you? You know, that kind of thing. In our own area, our Adoration Chapel has been restricted now. The Blessed Sacrament has been reposed. May I also add this before we close? Go to YouTube. Go to Worship and Praise Music. Praise and Worship Music. Go to Bethel Music. Go to the Vineyard Music. Go to the Upper Room. Go to
Psalm 62, Trust in God. God alone.
Amen. Just go, you know, if you need a soundtrack for your day, make it a praise and worship soundtrack. It really helps. You know, there's so much that we can do. I'm just exhorting you all. Once you exercise and once you get some form of prayer in your day, I guarantee you, you will feel better. Thank you for joining us.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyła of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPIIteachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.